You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as it's a Tuesday, and as David Shapiro has come back from his holiday, and Nick Kunzer doesn't have any client meetings, it is the double-headed dream team edition of the 5 o'clock shadow with the aforementioned Nick Kunzer from Sunland Private Wealth and David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities. You two have been reminiscing about David's recent sojourn to the Kruger National Park.
Yes, welcome back.
Yeah, but we're in the wild of the stock market for the last almost 2 days now. It was 2 days for the JSC. Nick, but 1.5 days and 1.75 days for everywhere else. It's been a fascinating first couple of days, hasn't it? Everything's going on.
Fascinating. Yeah, you know, if you just glance at your screen every now and again, you know, at the close of business, you wouldn't think anything had happened on. But you know, we stare at our screens all day, and the movements, the RAND, for example. I mean, on a 5 minute tick chart, it's moving 15 cents every single hour back and forth, 15.75 to 15.93. That's 18 cent moves. You know, his moves have been quite extraordinary. And then Turkish lira today, I mean, I was scrambling now to see if I could hold it to Istanbul. I mean, that the Turkish lira down 40% year to date against the dollar. You know, what happens when you put your brother-in-law in charge of the central bank and cut rates when inflation is 20% is the result a move like this. Top that off, I mean, the VIX also getting a little bit of a bid out of nowhere earlier on today. The VSTOXX, which is the volatility index in Europe.
Okay.
So out of nowhere, these volatility indices and all of a sudden, like, I think if you scratch the surface, there's some things happening underneath. And I think it started with the tech reversal last night, all-time high at 1 minute past the open last night, S&P 500, NASDAQ all-time high, big reversal, almost 2% in the NASDAQ on the day. Lindsay loves his Q reversals. and all of a sudden, this idea that, whoa, we're getting out of, all of a sudden, maybe with the new Fed chairman, we're getting out of sort of high growth stocks into value, and these swings continue. So there we go. A bit of a mouthful, but yes, Lindsay, the last 24 hours I think have been fascinating.
Yes,
don't make any plans for holidays for December.
Well, this is it, you see, because David's had his holiday, so he's only due one the next Jewish holiday, which is quite right too. Mm. But David, what Nick and I were saying was that this December feels a little bit different to previous Decembers. Mm. Normally, December is a walk in the park, and stock markets go into new record territory. And yeah, okay, it's not in December yet. We're still 8 days away from that, 8-9 days away. But it does feel a little bit different given the news flow and the significant news flow and the significant moves in things like the US 10-year and the South African 10-year bond and the currencies and the US dollar in particular. So, David, you probably won't agree with us, but you'll say this is just a flash in the pan. But there is something bubbling under, even if it's just for a few days.
No, I think this is the start of I don't want to say a reversal, but once the Fed started to taper and other central banks are talking about reducing their programs, that's the turnaround. And now what we have to gauge is how far this turnaround goes. You know, do interest rates go up dramatically, or are they going to increase at a fairly slow pace, you know, at a digestible pace? So I think that's what the market's trying to come to terms with. I couldn't understand yesterday. What I really couldn't understand is I don't see Powell as being very hawkish. I certainly don't see Lael Brainard as being hawkish, and yet the market suddenly built in. That's where this fall came from, Nick, as you were talking.
Do not think we had this conversation exactly on that. Do not think, and I'll throw it back to you, that now we're getting a case that maybe the tail's wagging the dog here. The market's starting to push these yields up.
Yes.
Despite the fact that two big fat doves are now sitting in the Federal Reserve.
Yes. They're trying to push the market. They're trying to, I don't know whether
the market's
trying
to push them, maybe.
Exactly. And they want them to respond. And
agreed.
I don't think you're going to get the response from Powell. I think that having been renominated, he's just going to stick to the same story. And all of a sudden, the headline came out now, oh, we're back to the dovish for longer view. I said, how when we closed last night, were we hawkish, we open up and we dovish?
Well, I mean, I'll go even further. How when the Uber doves get announced, does the two-year notes go through the roof?
Yes.
That front end of the yield curve went straight up. And I was like, it didn't make any sense.
I know. Anyway, you have to deal with it. You know, you just had to take a deep breath and kind of work your way through it. I'm not sure where it's going to end. It has made me feel a little jittery because of the huge volatility. You know, it makes you schizophrenic, bipolar, whatever word you want to do, because you know, you're looking at your screen. I promise you, Nick, Lindsay, I came home last night. Sadly, it was my late brother's, it would have been his 70th birthday. And we just went for a dinner. I went to his family. We had a dinner. I took out a bottle of Blue Label, which had been given as a present. So I had a whiskey with my nephews and my son. And I came back 10:15 last night, and the S&P was still up 0.6%. I woke up this morning, it was down 0.6% or whatever it was. So in that 3/4 hour, we saw a massive reversal. And you know, those kind of moves do destabilize you. They do unsettle you because, you know, what happened? I went to bed rich. I wake up poor. You know, that kind of attitude. What happened?
It's also the peripherals. Like as I say, you look at the EM currencies as well. I mean, heaven forbid you go make a cup of coffee when the Rand's 15.75. I mean, you literally come back, it's 15.93.
Well,
you know,
you've
missed
your
level by
15
cents. Yeah, exactly. So it's the seismic sort of swings we're seeing now in the background, which makes me also like you, also, you know, us old boys in the market, makes me, it just got that twitch, just makes me nervous when I see this.
David, you sent out a very a touching tweet with a black and white photograph of your family member who a year ago perished from COVID-19. What do you think about what's going on in Europe at the moment and the potential for it to just keep on rolling?
Yeah.
Southern Hemisphere, Northern Hemisphere, Austria in lockdown, Germany going to go into lockdown where I live, Netherlands in partial lockdown. It just keeps on going. On and on and on. Does that worry you from a market participant point of view?
Well, I think that it hasn't taken grip yet. I mean, the German health minister was, I've never heard a statement like that. You either get vaccinated, you can't, what did he say? You recover or you die. Something to that
he
effect.
He said, my compatriots will either get vaccinated, they'll be in ICU, or they'll die by the end of the year. I mean, it was an extraordinary statement.
It was an incredible statement. And what he's trying to say is go get vaccinated, because I think likewise in Europe, maybe they got to a level where everybody gets complacent and thinks that it's got. Lindsay, it's happening here. It's happening now. And I'm telling you, we are going to get a wave which will be brought about by young kids gathering for the holidays and spreading it to their families, as we saw last year. And that's where my brother succumbed. He went down to Cape Town with his family. He took all the precautions that he could, but picked it up on the 1 or 2 days before he was due to return here. His wife picked it up, spread to him, and that was it.
Yeah.
And I'm saying it all stemmed from mainly young people just being reckless and partying, bring it back to their families, and you know, spreading through that course. So it worries me. It is a worry.
It certainly is a worry. And just one thing before we come to the domestic markets, in other words, the South African markets, something came out, I think it was from Bloomberg today. No, insider.com. It says, here's what to keep in mind as Powell eyes a second term. 3 points. Inflation rose 6.2% year on year in October, the biggest jump in 30 years. Point number two, the labour shortage is real. There are 0.7 workers for every job opening, which is a record low. Point number three, the Fed has been buying at least $80 billion in treasuries and $40 billion in mortgage-backed securities each month, and those numbers are set to taper. Okay, only by $15 billion, apparently, and only in a week or so's time. But these are extraordinary facts, Nick.
Yeah, they are. And the Mr. Powell and his new compatriot, they both need to sit down and decide what are they doing and what is their mandate, because they have a dual mandate for inflation and they have a dual mandate for employment. Well, the inflation mandate, they've completely ignored. They might as well throw that out the window, because we've been above 5.5% for 4 straight months. We're now hitting the highest levels in decades. So they they've ignored that mandate. The Fed's mandate was to take a look at 2%. It's over. It's 6.2. So three hundred basis points higher than their mandate. Mm. Unemployment rate, as Lindsay you pointed out now, employment is on fire. The U.S. economy is charging on all cylinders. You cannot use that as an excuse too. I think the Fed need to actually tell the market what they're thinking, or they need to redo things. They need to say, well, actually, we're not going to look at inflation anymore, because if they keep telling us they are data dependent, well, that's absolute BS, because if they're data dependent, rates would be sitting 150, 200 basis points higher with inflation where it is. So I think they need to sit down, need to tell the market that we're changing our mandate, or we're not data dependent, we're doing other things, we're going to let things run hot for a while, because I think they're going to lose control if they don't. So that would be my first sort of points to the continuation and the one new person. I'd say you need to tell us what's going on, because you're not sticking to your mandate at all.
Okay, let's come back to South Africa now. David, you can choose what to comment upon. Okay, Roynet came out with results. MTN Nigeria, initial public offering, seems to be taken quite well by the South African listing of MTN. Brait, rights offer, market opened, and with the share price down very close to 20%, only down around about 10% at the moment on my delayed screen. Coronation Fund Managers down 1.2%. All Mutual voluntary trading update, the company coming down 1.8%, or rather its shares. And there was also Momentum Metropolitan. David, any of those that of interest
really
to you?
In them. You know, I went through them superficially. Couldn't find anything, really worth looking at. Coronation, obviously, that's a very good number. And I think it's reflective of the turnaround in the economy. They say it's operational performance. It's a very good performance. And I think a lot of the businesses are now starting to reflect much better trading conditions from the from a year ago. There was nothing, am I going to buy Brayton? Well, not really.
No.
They're going for a $3 billion rights issue, which the market didn't quite like. I mean, it's hugely dilutory, but they have to pay down debt. The underlying businesses are not bad. Premier's, I think, is quite good. Virgin's recovering. New Look, they reckon there's significant turnaround, but I suppose they weren't selling. Last year they sold no dresses. This year they sold one dress. So I suppose that is.
That's brutal.
I thought New Look was a shoe shop, wasn't it?
I don't know. There was so much promise for that.
It's apparel as well. It's very much British high street apparel.
Anyway, I don't know. I always liked Roynet. Lindsay, what I look for is signs of recovery in spending, particularly in companies like Roynet, because, they're at the heart of the economy in the sense that they're involved in cables, electrics, in other words, infrastructure development, factories, things like that. And they're starting to see signs there, but I don't know how strong those signs are. And what sustainable recovery we will see. We've seen those signs. We saw them in Barlow's. We've seen them in a number of businesses. I just hope they're real and sustainable and not just a turnaround from a very low and, knocked out condition.
Nick, any of those companies that we mentioned?
I'm going to buy there. I don't know. Nick might want to buy something there. Nothing for me.
Well, nothing really. I mean, I comment exactly like David. I could go over the same thing. Coronation, good numbers. It's a great. Would I be buying it? No, it's too speculative for me. Pass it on and get diluted. Like, you're going to be diluted with this massive sort of convertible offering that they're doing. The only one that maybe looks interesting, PPC. All of a sudden it does look quite interesting. It's not expensive. The government coming in to help as well, which they kind of do around the rest of the world too, with those sort of type of businesses. If we get our house in order, big if, and there's infrastructure spending, yes, PPC is going to benefit. So there's a lot of maybes out of that basket, Lindsay, but nothing that would on my buy list for now.
Okay.
It's your program, Lindsay, but I just want to talk to Nick about
nice birds. I'll just go to the bathroom, just so hold on. If I disappear, you just do carry on, please.
I want to talk to Nick, I just want to bring up the performance of Nice Business.
Who wouldn't?
What do you want to know about Nice Business? I'm buying. Yeah, go on.
I looked at the – because I spoke to Lindsay yesterday about the results, and I'm just – if I buy a company, I like to buy something that hooks me in. You know, this is why I'm buying it, because this is what they do and this is what they do well. You know, Tesla makes electric vehicles and goodly electric vehicles. So you know what you're buying. And I'm not going to repeat what I said about nice person process yesterday, but I mean, today the shares are coming under severe pressure. They've been absolutely
But haven't they? I mean, this has been every fund manager in South Africa. Did anyone ever actually really know what they were buying when they bought Naspers a few years ago? It's even pre-split, no one really knew. You love the 10-cent story. We all do. None of us ever really. And I openly put my hands up. I'm not an analyst. I leave those to the clever people down in Cape Town. But I mean, I have done my fair amount of due diligence and research when I sort of look at shares and when I want to add shares for clients. And Naspers, you never knew really what was under the hood. There were so many unlisted entities. You didn't even know how to value half of them. 10-cent was an enigma. You didn't quite know what it was, and you couldn't. None of us could fathom why it was trading at 80% discount to 10-cent and all the rest of it. So I don't know, David. I don't think anyone really could honestly put their hand up and said, "I know that business 100%." Maybe Koos Becker does, to be fair, because he was the sort of vision that bought it, you know, 19 years ago. But other than that, I don't think many people do, because you just don't have the transparency in that business. Right. Certainly with the China exposure. But the one positive I would say from yesterday, look, and I must tell you, I have been lightening up my process and my Naspers over the last couple of weeks, full disclosure, but it wasn't to do with Naspers and process. It was to do with the Chinese tech regulation that made me a little bit nervous. So I was just taking a little bit off the table. I still have them, and us as a firm still hold them. But for me, the one positive, I guess, was all of a sudden some of those unlisted entities look like they're operating quite well. But I'm saying that's going on management, and the discount has closed a little bit. You know, it's not just discounting nothing to the OTC. All of a sudden, it's less 10-cent. I say less in inverted commas, and a little bit more OTC, which is favorable. But overall, the sector, Chinese tech space, tech sectors, yield curves, rising interest rates. Shares like Naspers and Prosus fall into the sector. I can show you Alibaba. Alibaba down 46% year to date. So it's just it's going to fall out of favor going into next year with the sector and the cyclical market we're in. So just be very careful. And we do hold it. All of us do. And all of us in South Africa hold it in our pensions.
You have to.
Just be careful, because it's going to – I don't think this is going to pop in a hurry, not what I've seen.
Can I ask you this? Just before you go on, can I ask you this question? Because Nick always refers to his people in Cape Town being the clever people. You're my clever people, you two. Sad state of affairs, but you are. Koos Becker was a visionary. He came back from the university in the United States of America. He brought ideas over and he transformed Naspers. And then he invested in China. It went wrong. He lost 980 million rand in his first venture into China, but persisted because he could see the potential there. And then he got 10-cent. He didn't get lucky. There's no luck involved there. He just did very well. And since then, it's like this Alex Ferguson syndrome. You've got Alex Ferguson sitting in the stand all the time, and I think that Naspers and Prosus have 10-cent sitting in the stand watching and saying, what are you going to do next? Are you going to find another one? Are you going to be successful like I was? And you've got your classifieds, your e-commerce, and your burgers on bikes. It's almost as though, I'm saying they're trying too hard. They're boosting their revenue enormously. But don't you agree that there's something not quite right?
I agree with you totally. Well, I think there's a sort of legacy issue there as well, David. You can jump in here and say the legacy issue there, where everyone in South Africa and around the world who held Naspers and held it from the early days is expecting management to find the next 10-cent. It's not going to happen.
No,
that was once, as Lindsay says, once in a lifetime thing. It was a 10 gazillion bagger. It's not going to happen again. And to be fair for management, I think they've noticed the rhetoric. They've noticed the noise from the board meetings. They've tried to spin it off into two different holdings. They've done a share buyback. They've done a billions of dollar share buyback recently. They've done the spin off. They've sold their 10-cent. Every time that the window period opens where they're allowed to sell, they sell a portion of 10-cent to try to realize some value. So they're doing everything. But I think, Lindsay, I think you've touched on to something quite right. We're all waiting on the sidelines, waiting for the next 10-cent. And you're going to be waiting forever, because
it's not going to happen. That's my whole point. They should have. He was onto something really good. He should have just left that winning formula. If he wanted to start another 10-cent or another company outside, you know, putting these, what did you call them? Burgers on wheels.
Burgers on bikes,
burgers on bikes, sorry, classifieds, you know, the payment, the e-tail, the education, whatever it is, put them into a small little business, you know, that he could have floated here or something like that. But I think what's happened is that Tencent will continue to grow despite our views on China, even though there's regulatory clampdown. They're still going to grow decently. They'll be let loose soon, and you know they'll pick up their momentum again. And against that, you've got to have these businesses trying to keep up with this massive giant, and I don't think that's going to happen. But what is disappointing me now is that I think we're full up in South Africa. People are absolutely chock-a-block with Naspers, so they can't take any more. And it hasn't quite captured the appeal of foreign investors. You know, they're not going into process in a big way and closing that discount. So, you know, we're doomed to trade at a discount to the underlying Tencent value.
You know, it didn't close the discounts for two decades. You know, what makes you think you're going to do it?
It's not going to do it now. Yeah, you know, exactly.
You keep slamming your finger on the door. It's not changing.
Yeah. I'm in Nick's camp and saying, okay, you know, let's just start to ease out of these and look for something else. Mm. Just find somewhere else.
Well, I still like the story, and we still like the story, and I think it's got a lot of potential on the unlisted entity. I've got some fantastic investments. I just don't want to hold 18% like I used to hold when the index was, when it was so heavily weighted on the index. You know, I think it's prudent to take some risk off the table for your client money. That's all. Yeah. It's you know, don't have that big holding. Mm. Have exposure to it, but goodness me, you need to ratchet down significantly. If you're nervous about risk, you're nervous about China, well, then you need to cut your holdings back a little bit. That's all.
If you're nervous about the rand, don't listen to this, because the rand is 15.90 against the US dollar. It's 21.23 against the British pound. It's 17.88 against the euro. Isn't that a record low coming up for the British pound? No, it was 22.23 at some stage. But anyway, the point is the rand is under pressure. It's all to do with the strength of the dollar and also the Turkish lira, although I don't know what Turkey has got to do with South Africa apart from an emerging market sell currencies button on someone's desk in London.
Because Nick used to be on all of those desks.
He knows him. He's the culprit. Yeah.
You know, Turkey's a bit of an outlier now, unfortunately. But you know what it was, is that a month or two ago, Erdogan introduced some form of exchange controls when it came to currency trading as well. So, you know, you can't just short the Turkish lira now. So, you know, if you're sitting in Manhattan, I think you think that Turkey and South Africa are next to each other. So I'm short the rand.
That's so exactly
it's got
what
a little
I
bit
say.
Of that contagion.
They're all on the same desk. I just see Lindsay.
We're almost on the same continent.
Yeah. Most people. 10 years of- most people in America will say when they'll see a headline saying Turkey, they see Turkey and lira goes to all time lows. They think they're getting their Thanksgiving bird for a cheap price. They don't. They're rather xenophobic over there, or rather insular. Let's put it that way. Euro dollar is 1.1245. British pound against the dollar. Goodness me, the cable's getting whacked. 133.55. Yeah. That's a 0.6% fall for the pound against the mighty US dollar. The gold price, it was comfortably trading well above 1800, not just 1810, not 1820, but 1850 at one stage. Look at the gold price now. Completely slaughtered. Another $20 in the last 24 hours, 1786. And platinum. Oh, baby. Down 46 to 968. The palladium price, 1918, down 1.5%, or $29 per ounce. The oil price. Now, this is perverse. Yeah. Now, Mr. Biden suddenly says we're going to release 50 million barrels from our strategic reserves. And what does the crude oil price do? Okay, you old fool.
Oh, no. I was laughing. It's like two fingers. Carry on.
Exactly. Let's do the Biden turnaround. Exactly. The contrarian Biden trade, because it's 2% up Brent crude oil to 81.34. So it was below 79 earlier on today. West Texas crude is 77.98.
Let me just to jump
Yeah, go on.
Just to jump in there. I know it's your show, but just to jump in again. Not great, eh? Not great to have Rand at 15.88, emerging currencies blowing out, and oil price. Just as an observation, yeah. It's not great.
No, there's another 25 basis points or even 50 basis points rise in the South African Reserve Bank's repo rate at the next meeting, I would say, because as you quite rightly say, I mean, 81.34 for Brent crude up to just over 2%, and the Rand close to becoming sweet or rather sour 16 quite soon. This is really quite serious for South Africa at a time that the country can ill afford it. The US 10-year Treasury yield is this keeps on going, 1.653% to be precise. The South African 10-year bond yield is another one. You're chasing yield in South Africa. Actually, it's come back a bit. It was 9.75 earlier on. It's now 9.685%. And Bitcoin, it's recovered a bit. It's now 57,250 odd, down 1.7%, but still $11,000 per coin lower than it was 2.5, 3 weeks ago. So there we are. Lots and lots going on. Let's have a look at the movers on the JSC. Nick, give us yours first, and then I'll try and embellish it with mine, and David will do the same. Same. What happened today? Individual stocks.
Well, Cecil putting two fingers up at Mr. Biden, up 6.94%.
Wow.
Top of my leaderboard, 265.92, the closing price. Kumba, massive. It was a 10% jump this morning in iron ore, 9.9. Wow. If it had got to 10% move, it would have been closed. It would have gone limit up. But 9.9% move in iron ore, which translated straight through the Kumba price today, R442.83. That's a 4.46% winner. And generally, as Lindsay says, the stuff you dig out the ground. BHP Billiton with the back of oil as well, 3.4% higher. We've got MTN, also very linked to Nigerian Yara. That's up 3.25%, 162.62. And the downside, a couple, Brait, we know the reasons why. A couple of property shares as well, high prop down 4%. And then, of course, the pain taken from that platinum price, now Impala Platinum, down 3.48%. And as we've been speaking earlier, obviously NAS was in process on the downside too.
Okay, I've got all those on my screen as well. So I'm actually, Nick, I've actually caught up with you. But David, you've got to come up with a couple outside of those.
I'd say, Lindsay, the one stock that has just been progressively going up has been Investec.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure of the background. I'm not, I don't think there's anything in the results that made anyone sit up, that wasn't different from any of the other banks. Maybe they had been hurt over the last couple of years, and the market might be responding to some of the efforts to restructure the business, new management, new approach, but steadily increasing. And once more, I know they're UK based, and of course, as the Rand goes weaker, they are trying, but another 2%, they're trading at about 83. This is a stock that a year ago, the depths, I think, was about 29.
52-week high today.
Is it 52-week? Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know the background. I don't know who's buying, but they just, even
that's
on the
people
day,
trying to call me. Yeah, 81.48 was a 52-week high and hit it today. Sure.
But just tell me on this one. This is not corporate action. This is a currency move, right? Because there's no reason for it to go up when it comes to banking and financial services, surely.
Well, it's not. I mean, it's the right. So, I mean, inflationary environment. I've been buying banks. I mean, I've been buying banks offshore last week. I've been buying SA banks this week. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a little bit of love on that side too. I thought the earnings were very good. David is a hard man to please. Maybe not as excellent as he thought, but I thought the earnings were fairly impressive, and they're diverse. Their base is coming, and they're getting more investments from the US and China as well. Mm. The clever people at the overpriced subscription we pay for, that BCA, that bank credit analysts, they're very bullish on the one sector on UK banks. They think with inflation coming, and they think the Bank of England are going to be the quickest out the ground, they're going to raise rates quicker across the whole Eurozone, including where they are now in Europe. So, maybe all of the above. A bit of a sweet spot.
But they've been very progressively increasing from
steady.
Just very steady, even at times where a lot of the other banks, the local banks, have been under pressure. So there is, there's somebody accumulating.
Bottom left, upper right. Don't fight that trend.
No. Trade what you see on the screen.
They're not. So I just mention it as one that just steadily going up all the time.
Nick, give us the closing JSE indices, if you would, and also Live Wall Street.
Yeah, on what has been a very interesting 48 hours. So let's start with Live Wall Street quickly. We've got the S&P is just below the flat line. It's down four points only, 46.78 on the future. We have the NASDAQ, which has been the outperformer recently, is a little bit weak. It's down 0.5%, 15.780. And, of course, the Dow Jones Industrial, that is currently, yeah, it's a little bit of a lag at two, down just 0.7%. On our side, though, closer to home, we finished in the green, up 0.21%, back above the 71,000 level. 71,015 is the closing level of the All Share. Top 40 tradable index as well, also having a decent session, up 0.28%, 64,566. Also, I think almost all time high in the JSE All Share. We were led higher by basic materials, had a good day, 1.38% firmer. Energy laughing at Biden, up 1.37%. On the downside, as they didn't really stand a chance with this rand, financials were a little bit weaker, down 0.3%. Healthcare down 0.32% as well. Real estate 1.14% weaker. And then tech shares, NUS was in process, lagging once again on our index. That index down 2.64%. Value traded a little bit better, 22.200. All the twos, 22.200 value traded.
That's encouraging. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. Oh, just before we go, because it's UEFA Champions League night, Nick, you can go and feed the baby or something, or nuzzle your baby while David and I are talking about football. David, Villarreal versus Manchester United is the one that really interests me tonight, because Michael Carrick, I mean, hello, Michael Carrick is in charge of Manchester United in a really important European game. It can only end in tears, surely.
I don't know. You know, they could come to the party. I think that they've come under such criticism that somewhere along the line they've actually got to start playing soccer. And where is it? Is it at?
It's in Villarreal, yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
Exactly.
Anyway, I know. It depends on Villarreal, you know, if they can actually take advantage. But I'm sure these chaps are going to start playing, particularly with the new manager coming. But I mean, I just feel sorry for the fans. And Lindsay, where are they? Do they need to win this one, or is it a?
If they win it, they're through to the knockout stage. If they lose it, then it's all a little bit tentative. But it's going to be great fun. Yeah. Anyway, gentlemen, thank you very much. It was a really good session.
That's the match to watch.
Exactly. David Shapiro is from Sasfin Securities. Nick Kunze is from Sanlam Private Wealth, both in Johannesburg. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. The gentleman will be back with me on Thursday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.